Breaking news tonight, clash of the titans. Mitt Romney unleashing a blistering attack on Donald Trump, calling him a phony, a fraud, warning Republicans to stop him. Trump fires back and the GOP braces for all-out war. Caught on camera, a school police officer smacking and kicking a 16-year-old, triggering outrage and a criminal investigation. Surprise announcement from soccer superstar Brandi Chastain. Years after her iconic victory celebration, why she says she's donating her brain to science. Price you pay for health care, a new way patients are finding to save big money, on average $1,000. We'll show you. And story time. But it's the kids doing the reading and some very good listeners loving every minute of it. Nightly News begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. It is like nothing we've seen before in modern American political history. Mitt Romney, the Republicans' last presidential nominee, delivering a stinging point-by-point takedown of his party's current frontrunner, Donald Trump. The Stop Trump movement reaching a new level of urgency with Romney, in a speech that at times sounded like an intervention, labeling Trump a phony, eviscerating his policies as reckless, and accurately predicting Trump would launch a counterassault. It's clear we're witnessing open warfare tonight over the future of the Republican Party. And we have two reports, starting with NBC's Peter Alexander.
In under 20 minutes, Mitt Romney branded his party's frontrunner as dishonest, dangerous, and dumb.
Here's what I know. Donald Trump is a phony, a fraud. His promises are as worthless as a degree from Trump University.
The dean of the Republican Party and its last nominee today vilified the man best positioned to succeed him.
But you say, wait. Isn't he a huge business success? Doesn't he know what he's talking about? No, he isn't. And no, he doesn't. His bankruptcies have crushed small businesses and the men and women who work for them. He inherited his business. He didn't create it. And whatever happened to Trump Airlines? And then there's Trump Magazine and Trump Vodka and Trump Steaks and Trump Mortgage. A business genius he is not.
Repeatedly blasting the billionaire for lacking the temperament to be president.
Think of Donald Trump's personal qualities. The bullying, the greed, the showing off, the misogyny, the absurd third grade theatrics.
And accusing Trump of manipulating the public's anger.
He creates scapegoats of Muslims and Mexican immigrants.
Governor Romney was trying to make the last ditch effort and the last ditch argument for the establishment today. He knew if it wasn't going to happen today, it probably wasn't ever going to happen.
4 years ago, Romney welcomed Trump's endorsement.
Thank you, Donald.
Today, tweeting if Trump had made his controversial comments then, he wouldn't have accepted it. But if not Trump, then who?
I'd vote for Marco Rubio in Florida and for John Kasich in Ohio and for Ted Cruz.
Could Romney jump in? We tried to get his attention, but no response. If it's Trump, this dire prediction.
A person so untrustworthy and dishonest as Hillary Clinton must not become president. Of course, a Trump nomination enables her victory.
Peter Alexander, NBC News, Salt Lake City.
I'm Katie Turr. Mitt Romney predicted it.
Will he talk about our policy differences? Or will he attack me with every imaginable low-road insult?
And Donald Trump delivered.
I'll just address it quickly because it's irrelevant. I could have said, Mitt, drop to your knees. He would have dropped to his knees. He was begging.
The GOP frontrunner is back at the name-calling today.
He's a choke artist.
A sentiment about Romney echoed by Trump's supporters.
Who is he? He's a loser.
The former nominee now daring the potential nominee to be transparent.
All he has to do is release his back taxes like he promised he would.
Demands Trump ignored. The New Yorker taking fire offstage is now facing it onstage. Tonight, his toughest rematch yet. Head-to-head with Fox News moderator Megyn Kelly for the first time in 8 months.
I have to say this. He hit my hands. Nobody has ever hit my hands. I've never heard of this one. Look at those hands. Are they small hands?
And from the start, the heat was on. No Ben Carson meant just four podiums, but still just one target.
He talks about how he wants to create jobs in America. He can start tonight by announcing that all the Donald J. Trump clothing will no longer be made in China and in Mexico.
It's easy to say, make things better, make things great. You can even print it and put it on a baseball cap.
Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio hoping to expose Trump as a con man. The billionaire now on the air in Rubio's home state, spending $1 million on Florida TV, hoping his lead will hold in that winner-take-all state. So far, John Kasich is trying to paint himself as the adult in the room. This debate already getting ugly. And make no mistake, Donald Trump has the most to lose. He may be winning, but he's not winning by that much. Lester.
Katie Turr, thank you. We want to bring in our political director, the moderator of Meet the Press, Chuck Todd. What just happened here, and what's the end game, Chuck?
Well, I can tell you this. The other Republican campaigns who want to stop Trump are a little bit disappointed that Mitt Romney didn't offer a solution, and they fear that Mitt Romney's solution to all this is him raising his hand saying, hey, I'm available in case of emergency. Well, how could that work out? Donald Trump's rivals have 12 days to stop him. But counter to conventional wisdom, Trump has not put this nomination away. In fact, if Trump loses both Florida and Ohio on March 15th, chances are we're headed to that contested convention. Let me show you. So right now, Trump leads in the delegates, and as Katie said, basically a little less than 100. So far, Trump has won about 45% of all the delegates available. So let's assume Trump can win that same 45% in the 14 contests besides Florida and Ohio. Well, that means he's really got to do well in Florida and Ohio. Let me explain. If Trump wins both Florida and Ohio, this is what his delegate total will look like. He'll have nearly a 300-delegate lead over Cruz. He'd need only win to win 50% of remaining delegates to be the nominee. And guess what? Without Rubio and without Kasich, both would drop out. That wouldn't be the case. But if he loses both Florida and Ohio to Kasich and Rubio, then suddenly you have a jumbled mess. Everybody stays in, and Lester, we're headed for that contested convention.
Wow. Chuck, thank you. We want you to know Mitt Romney will speak out live tomorrow morning in studio here in New York, an exclusive interview with Matt Lauer on Today. Meantime, you'd think Hillary Clinton might be sitting back today, gleefully watching what's happening on the GOP side, but she has got potential trouble of her own, namely this email controversy that repeatedly surfaces. This time, word that the aide who set up her private email server has been granted immunity. NBC's Andrea Mitchell now with new details.
Thank you all so much.
Hillary Clinton at a star-studded fundraiser last night.
Go on, vote!
At the same time as a new disclosure about the investigation into her emails. NBC News confirming the former aide who set up her personal server has been granted immunity by the Justice Department. Brian Pagliano had taken the fifth before Congress, but now is talking to the FBI. Spotlighting an issue Donald Trump raised again today.
Assuming she's not arrested for the email situation.
Key legal issues, was classified information mishandled? What was the damage? What was her role?
The overriding legal issue is what was done at her direction and what was done with her knowledge.
The FBI director has taken charge.
I am very close personally to that investigation.
Today, Clinton's spokesman said she is eager to be interviewed by the FBI.
Calling Secretary Clinton in to answer some questions may be one of the final steps to help them wrapping up the investigation.
There is no classified materials.
It's a controversy that has now shadowed Clinton for a full year.
Did you want to serve?
What, like with a cloth or something?
Does it raise judgment questions?
Well, I don't think so.
Bernie Sanders gave her a pass on the issue last fall. And today his wife and advisor told me,
maybe more people are interested now, but we're not going to make an issue out of it.
It is very likely that Clinton will have to testify. Her team says they're glad her former aide is now cooperating. But clearly, no matter what the Justice Department decides, this is an issue the Republicans will continue to use against her. Lester?
Andrea, thank you. There are new developments tonight involving that piece of debris discovered off eastern Africa, possibly belonging to the missing Malaysia Airlines Flight 370. Malaysian authorities reiterated today that photographic evidence suggests it likely came from a Boeing 777. And we're hearing more from the American who found it. Here's NBC's Tom Costello.
The photographs of the possible debris found off Mozambique raise several questions. Why is there no marine life like we saw on the first piece of debris that washed ashore last summer covered in barnacles on nearby Reunion Island? Oceanographers say it is possible it could have been washed clean if it was stuck in the sand. Yet the words no step are still visible. And does the rip pattern on the debris shed any light? Crash experts say it suggests a violent impact with the water, but they'd expect to see a relatively flimsy horizontal stabilizer on a 777 rip off first.
I can't confirm at all that it's a piece of a plane or a piece of anything to do with MH370.
The piece was found on a sandbank off the coast of Mozambique by American adventure tourist Blaine Allen Gibson.
This could possibly be from Malaysia 370. We don't know yet.
Gibson has blogged about MH370, even traveled across Asia meeting victims' families. Today, he said his interest drew him to the beach.
I wanted to go out to a place where debris washes ashore from the open Indian Ocean. My heart was thumping, there was anticipation, there was excitement, there was feeling.
While the primary search zone is still thousands of miles away, marine experts aren't surprised debris has turned up on the other side of the ocean.
The ocean is much more unpredictable and complicated than a straight flowing river. You get swirls, you get big waves.
Even if investigators conclude the debris is from MH370, it won't tell them where the rest of the plane is. The search remains focused some 3,500 miles to the east. Lester?
Tom, thank you. A surprise announcement today from American soccer hero Brandi Chastain. So many remember her iconic World Cup victory celebration. Now retired, she says after years of taking hard hits, she will donate her brain to science, raising awareness about the threat of concussions to women and girls. And that it's not just a concern for guys playing football. NBC's Erica Hill has more.
The woman behind one of the most iconic moments in sports history is hoping to leave a more lasting legacy, pledging today to donate her brain for research. Chastain spoke to NBC News about head injuries last November.
When you hear things like CTE, traumatic brain injury, these are real. These are long-lasting. And what we can't do is we can't study the brain while somebody's alive.
Her brain will go to researchers at Boston University studying chronic traumatic encephalopathy, or CTE, and a possible link to concussions. The lab has 307 brains. Only seven are from women.
We really don't know about CTE in girls' sports or in women's sports. We need more specimens. We need more ways to diagnose it.
Chastain, who retired from soccer in 2010, estimates there were probably half a dozen times she shook off possible concussions from heading the ball. Girls' soccer has the second highest number of concussions among high school athletes, with female players suffering 40% more than their male counterparts. Now a mom and coach, Chastain worked with U.S. Soccer last year to change the rules for heading in youth leagues.
As a coach and an advocate and a soccer ambassador, I have to do what's right for the safety of the players.
Continuing her commitment to the game and its future. Erica Hill, NBC News, New York.
A criminal investigation has been launched over a troubling scene caught on tape in Baltimore. It shows a school police officer slapping a young man in the face multiple times and then kicking him. It's just the latest incident raising questions about the use of force among Baltimore law enforcement. NBC's Ron Mott has the story.
Tonight, an investigation is underway in Baltimore over this four-second cell phone video showing a school police officer slapping and kicking a 16-year-old boy while a second officer looked on.
As a parent of a Baltimore City school student, I was appalled by what I saw.
The mayor, whose city is closely watching a series of criminal trials of police officers in the death of Freddie Gray, sounded exasperated by another police-involved controversy. Officials say the two officers were responding to a report of school intruders, but a lawyer for the 10th grader and his family told NBC News he is enrolled as a student there. The child and the family want to keep their names private, attorney Lauren Geiser said. He's a minor child, he was injured, and his family is traumatized by what happened. In 2014, another Baltimore City Schools police officer was seen on camera hitting a female student with a baton. The officer later pleaded guilty to assault. The city schools police chief says he's also troubled by what he saw.
According to our use of force continuum, definitely excessive force was used.
In a statement, the state's attorney's office said it takes this matter very seriously and is working closely with the city's police department and school police to investigate. Those forces operate separately. Law enforcement in Baltimore once again making headlines. Ron Mott, NBC News.
Still ahead tonight, slashing doctor bills by thousands of dollars. The website that makes finding discounts on medical services as easy as booking the cheapest flight online. Also, story time. Kids testing out their reading skills to an audience that's all ears. Back now with our series, The Price You Pay, and a new way shoppers are finding to get money back automatically. It was created by a couple of entrepreneurs who saw that online retailers change their prices sometimes many times a day. And so they developed a service to help consumers get the best deal even after they've bought something. NBC's Olivia Stearns explains how it works.
$3.
Megan and Gus Rojo buy everything online.
Household goods, we buy furniture, diapers.
And like most new parents, they're always looking for new ways to save.
We saved on that $2.
Their latest trick, Paribus, an online service that automatically gets you money back when something you've already bought goes on sale, on average within 20 days.
We have saved $400 in about 30 purchases in about a year.
$400.
$400, yeah.
Their biggest savings yet, $270 back on this $1,500 patio set.
It was awesome. I mean, I thought it was an error on the system.
Eric Glyman and Kareem Atia started Paribus 9 months ago in response to the fact that retailers such as Amazon are now adjusting prices millions of times per day.
It's so surprising. You wouldn't be thinking that cereal will go 40% off just in a couple of days.
Here's how it works. Sign up for Paribus online. It then scans your emails for receipts and tracks current sale prices on items you bought. When a price drops, Paribus gets you the difference and keeps 25%. Currently, Paribus supports purchases from 18 major retailers.
And how do I know that Paribus is not reading emails from my health insurance or my accountant?
We just worked with a select number of stores. Only those stores, those receipts.
To be extra safe, you can also set up an email account just for online shopping.
And you never see my credit card number.
That's right.
As for the Rojos, they're stashing their savings for a very good cause.
College for Sophia, so she can go get her education.
Olivia Stearns, NBC News, Austin.
Up next, back on Earth, an American astronaut returns, and after a year in space, why he's no longer as identical to his identical twin brother as he was before. After a year on the International Space Station, tonight American astronaut Scott Kelly is safely back on Earth and standing tall after such a towering accomplishment. We mean that quite literally. Kelly, who is the identical twin brother of retired astronaut Mark Kelly, is now 2 inches taller than he was when he left. That's because on Earth, the disc of the spinal column gets slightly compressed due to gravity. But in space, in zero gravity, they expand, making the spine longer. Wild surveillance video out of Houston where security cameras caught around 10 people smashing into a gun shop by tying chains around a pickup truck, then pulling the doors right off their hinges. They ransacked the place, hammering through the glass, making off with handguns and rifles, more than 50 weapons in all. Police tried to hunt them down tonight. When we come back, Tom Brokaw joins us in the fight for the soul of the Grand Old Party. Finally, tonight, as we said before the break, a fight for the soul of the Republican Party is underway. On one side, Donald Trump and the millions of supporters who back him. On the other, the Republican establishment. All of it raising the question many are asking, is it the people or the party who should choose the nominee? Here's Tom Brokaw.
Bigger and better than ever.
His popular reality TV show portrayed him as a take-charge guy.
You're fired.
And his campaign was an extension of that.
I will be winning because I win. I win.
At huge rallies, he was like a wrestling promoter, promising to take on Washington.
How can I describe our leaders better than the word stupid?
Washington pundits were appalled.
We're building a wall.
And they were wrong. He won in 7 states just last night, brought a record number to the polls, and his momentum picked up pace. Trump continues his barroom style, taking on the Speaker of the House from his own party for criticizing him.
Paul Ryan, I don't know him well, but I'm sure I'm going to get along great with him. And if I don't, he's going to have to pay a big price, okay?
Through all of this, Trump supporters have stood by him, showing up in ever larger numbers. Whatever else the establishment thinks, he has become the voice of a large part of the Republican electorate.
We need change. And I think right now, we need someone that's not what we've been getting.
He has his own money, and I think he will represent the people in this country.
So if the GOP establishment tries to silence their voices, would that be an attack on the basic principles of why we have elections? If Trump voters are denied their choice, what then? Where do they go?
That's what we've been here before. You're too young to remember this. We don't know what Romney's going to say tomorrow. But in 1964, the Republican establishment tried to keep Barry Goldwater from the Republican presidential nomination. They failed, and then he lost massively to LBJ in the 64 election. 4 years later, Richard Nixon made his famous comeback. So you never know with politics.
All right, Tom Brokaw, thank you. Good to have you here. That's going to do it for us on this Wednesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching, and good night.